But folks, we need to learn that when God binds us, when God chains us, then He is doing things that are much greater. And we need to understand that He is working through those things. And the Apostle Paul understood that even in this imprisonment, that his chains have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel.
Welcome to this Friday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, as we embark on today's teaching, give us an idea of what we'll be learning in the book of Philippians.
Now, Dave, we're going to continue our look at how we can endure the difficulties of life. So turn with us to Philippians chapter 1, and we're going to be looking at verses 12 through 18.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Look at Philemon, verse 10. Philemon, verse 10. I appeal to you for my child, whom I have begotten in my imprisonment, Onesimus, who was formerly useless to you, but now is useful both to you and to me. And I have sent him back to you in person, that is, sending my very heart. You see, Philemon was Onesimus's owner, and Onesimus had obviously run away, and he'd come to Christ, and he's turning back. Paul's doing the right thing here. And he's imploring Philemon to do the right thing in Christ. And he says here, and I have sent him back to you in person, that is, I'm sending my very heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my imprisonment for what? For the gospel. Paul was in chains for speaking the truth of Jesus Christ. He's in imprisonment for the gospel. We see that here. He says his bonds literally in Christ back in Philippians chapter 1 verse 13. He is in chains for the gospel, the ministry of the gospel. But yet he says, dear brothers and sisters, I want you to know that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. My chains, my imprisonment, the confining of me have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. The Philippians might have thought Paul hit a roadblock, the gospel's being hindered, the exact opposite. Folks, what circumstances are dominating you? What circumstances are binding you? What circumstances has God chained you to? Not because of sin. We talked about sin. Sometimes we have circumstances we're chained to. We confess that, we forgive Him, we move forward, and God is gracious. But what circumstances has He chained you to, in essence, that you have not done anything to bring about? Could it be a sickness, a disease, a disability? Could it be a family situation, a relational situation? Have you been chained to a difficult work situation? Mothers, do you feel chained to the task of raising your kids? Whatever it might be. You can't get free, right? You are stuck in this situation. What situation has God allowed to bind you, to chain you? Well, folks, we need to learn that when God binds us, when God chains us, then He is doing things that are much greater. And we need to understand that He is working through those things. And the Apostle Paul understood that even in this imprisonment, that his chains have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. The very thing that brought about the advancement of His word was His being chained. Folks, we need to realize that, because we can lean on our own understanding and say, man, if I was only not in this situation, if it was only this or that, how I could serve the Lord, whatever it might be. Apostle Paul says the opposite. He says the opposite. I want you to know. He saw his circumstances rightly, and we need to be encouraged by that, because we can so easily see our circumstances wrong. We can so easily be discouraged. And believe me, Paul had human reason to be discouraged. Chained? Yes. None of us are chained, I don't believe. I don't see anyone with chains on, right? The reality is the Apostle Paul had very much reason, humanly speaking, to be discouraged. But he's saying, hey, God has done the opposite. Notice the results of his imprisonment. Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. His chains, he's saying, have turned out for that. The term progress, one lexicon shares, he says, basically, it means to cut before. It spoke of those woodcutters who would cut a trail through an impenetrable forest. They would cut this trail so that the army could come through. It's pioneering progress. It's not simply progress. It's progress that is pioneering. He says it has turned out for the pioneering progress or advancement of the gospel. And you might be saying, well, what's the gospel? Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. We have a definition. There's much more to it, but we have a simple definition in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. The Apostle Paul says, now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you also stand, by which you are also saved. He said, if you hold fast to the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. And that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures. That he appeared to Cephas, then 12, and he goes on. That Christ died for our sins. You see, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He who commits sin is slave to sin. And if you die in your sins, you will go to hell. But Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was led to the cross. He bore our sins in his body on the cross. He paid the full penalty in our place. And God accepted that payment. He died. He went into the grave and he rose on the third day. Jesus died for our sins. Inherent in the gospel is the fact that we are sinners in big trouble. Inherent in the gospel is that God sent his Son in our place. The Christ, the Messiah, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords suffered for us for the glories to follow. He died for our sins. It's the good news concerning Jesus, because the bad news is that you're a sinner. That we all have sinned, that each one of us has done wrong, we've thought wrong, we've done wrong. Initially, we're ashamed of those things, but we get more hardened, that we're sinners. But God reached down in his love and sent his Son to pay the penalty for our sins. He took on human flesh, he died for our sins. And if you're willing to humble yourself, because pride's in the way, people say, I don't believe, I don't know, I don't know. It's pride. You're not willing to admit you're a sinner in deep trouble. If you admit you're a sinner in deep trouble and believe what God says, that Jesus died for your sins, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. The Apostle Paul is suffering, but he says this imprisonment has brought about the pioneering progress of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Tremendous reality. You know, folks, we can become so selfish and so self-centered as believers, not recognizing what Christ wants to do in our lives and around us. The Apostle Paul understood this, and we need to learn and be encouraged by what we hear today. And notice what this pioneering progress is. We'll see that in a second. It has to do with this gospel going out throughout a whole area. So his circumstances resulted in the pioneering progress. And so often, brothers and sisters, we see our circumstances in light of ourselves. We say it like this, God's doing a work on me. It's about me, about me. Well, yes, that's true, but God is often doing things more than just us, and it's about others. It's about his plan, his purposes, his glory. It's more than just making you like Jesus and me like Jesus. It's more than that. And Paul says there were pioneering advancements of the gospel. He doesn't say, I really grew in my faith in this imprisonment. That's probably true. The point, he's about what God is doing. So what man would see as a hindrance, what believers might lean on their own understanding trying to get out of, the Apostle Paul says has turned out to bring pioneering advance of the gospel. And Paul understood this, and he desires to share this with the Philippians and God by his Spirit through this passage to us. So now let's take a look at some of the specifics Paul gives of this pioneering advance of the gospel. Look at verse 12 again in Philippians 1. Now I want you to know, brethren, my circumstances, that's this imprisonment, have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ, it's about Jesus, it's not just about spilling the gospel everywhere, it's about obeying Jesus and sharing Christ, right? And he says here, has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else. This is a tremendous statement if you know what's being said here. At the point, the Apostle Paul had ministered, as you look in Acts, to Jews and Gentiles, with a few exceptions in Acts. Some went before Agrippa and Felix and Festus. But now, because of his chains, he says, middle of verse 13, Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard. This isn't the Roman Empire. This is the empire that's over the earth at this time. They're completely over the earth. And he says, it's been well known. Now, this term Praetorian could speak of the headquarters of a Roman field camp. It could speak of a Roman governor's residence or palace. It could speak of the emperor's palace guard in Rome. Now, I clearly believe that's what it's speaking of here. This is speaking of the emperor's elite soldiers, about 1,000 of them, guarding his household and all his places where he's around. The Praetorian. And how can I say that? Look in chapter 4, verse 22. I believe it has to do with Caesar and his elite guard. Paul says, all the saints greet you, especially those who belong to what? Caesar's household. This is an amazing thought, that the word of God has permeated the household of the Roman emperor, of the Roman empire. Now, this Praetorian Guard were his personal bodyguards. They consisted of several thousand elite Roman soldiers stationed at key residences of the empire in Rome. Now, on a side note, even though the emperor considered Paul his prisoner, Paul understood that he was a prisoner of Christ. Look at verse 13. So that my imprisonment for the cause of Christ is because of Jesus. Now, we can ascertain from Acts 28 that Paul was chained to one of these elite Praetorian guard 24 hours a day in his own rented quarters for 2 years. We read this earlier. You can look in Acts 28. Chained to a Roman guard 24/7. And historically, they would switch their guard every 4 to 6 hours. And can you imagine for 2 years the rotation of these guards? And what's your job tonight, Felix? Or Festus, what's your job? Well, I'm going over to that guy, Saul or Paul, whatever his name is. I'm going to watch him. I got to get chained to him. Oh, yeah, I was there last week. He sure talked a lot about that guy who was crucified. You know, no one raises from the dead, but he says he did. We can just imagine what he did. We know he shared the gospel because the text reveals that. And he says here, all the saints from chapter 4, verse 22, greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. There were those who came to faith in Jesus Christ through the Apostle Paul sharing the gospel while he is in chains. Tremendous, wonderful reality. If we would just see our chains rightly, if we would just see them rightly, the situations God has chained us to for following Jesus, if we just see them rightly. Well, if an unbeliever were chained to you, I'm not talking about believers, what would they hear? We all have unsaved chained to us, relatives, spouses, children, family, co-workers, schoolmates. Have they heard about Christ? Have they seen him in your life? They're chained to you. Have they seen him? The Apostle Paul says here that his chains brought about the knowledge of Christ throughout the whole Praetorian. And we believe they came to faith, as I mentioned. All the saints greet you, chapter 4, 22, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. They became saints. They believed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Tremendous. Back in chapter 1, verse 12. Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment for the cause of Christ has become well known. Well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else. Well, who's everyone else? Quite possibly it's the rest of Caesar's household besides the guards, because remember, there were those in Caesar's household that came to faith. quite possibly. In the second century, a Roman historian, Tertullian, I think that's how you say it, wrote that the Roman government was greatly disturbed because it discovered so many Christians in powerful and authoritative positions. Very interesting. Many of those were eventually executed, by the way. But at this point, Paul is allowed to share the gospel freely, we see in Acts 28, and God is using it for his glory. In pioneering advance of the gospel of Jesus Christ permeating the household of the emperor of the known world. All because in obedience, Paul saw his chains not of Rome, but of Christ. Look what Paul tells Timothy a few years later. This is when he's bound, and it's a little different imprisonment. But look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. In verse 8. He says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which he granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. But now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. For this reason I suffer these things. I also suffer these things for this reason. You can keep reading. How about you? Do you see your difficulties that God has chained you to? You've been obedient? You've done the right thing? As that which God will advance his word in? Tremendous, wonderful realities. Now notice, this also instilled courage in others. Not only was Paul encouraged, but it instilled courage in others, and he wants to share this with them. Look back at our passage. Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment for the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else, and that, notice this, most of the brethren trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. You see, Paul's example has emboldened true believers to speak the gospel because of what God is doing. Now, I usually prefer the NASB translation, but I don't think it's the best reading. It says, those who are trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment. I don't think that he's speaking about them coming to Christ because of their imprisonment. I actually think they've been given confidence and persuaded to then share the gospel because of his imprisonment. And how can I say that? Notice the word trusting here is not our normal word in Greek for faith, pistis or pistuo. It is a Greek word, patho, which means being persuaded or confident. Thus, I think the New King James does a better job doing this, and I have a translation here. And that most of the brethren, having become confident in the Lord by my chains, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. They become confident because of what God has done in the Apostle Paul through his chains. And folks, we should become confident too from this example. We should look at it and it should give us confidence. It should persuade us of what God does in the midst of difficulties. So what he's saying here is, as an unexpected result of Paul's circumstances, was an outpouring of confident, fearless, as we're going to see, proclamation of the word of God. One pastor translates it this way. The great majority of believers come to a state of settled confidence in the Lord, have become influenced by the gentle persuasion of my shackles to take the step of confidence and more abundantly bold and fearlessly break silence and share the word of God. Notice what he says. Now, I want you to know, brethren, my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment for the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorium, that most of the brethren trusting in, or better said, having become confident in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. See, fear is the issue. We fear what people will do. And now here, this was a time in Rome where they could get arrested. Paul got arrested. But they weren't going to be executed right away. But Caesar was the god. And you're speaking about another king Jesus, right? So it was a dangerous time to speak, but yet it wasn't like it would be in two or so years when Nero would come in, where many Christians would be killed for sharing Christ. But it was still dangerous. And there was fear. And for you and I, you know, we don't have that fear. We are not going to jail for sharing Christ right now in America. And that may come, but you're not going to go to jail for sharing the gospel. But we have the fear of how is someone going to respond, right? Let's be honest. We fear. Are they going to reject it? Are they going to think we're weird? You know, we have those fears. And here we see that they had become, because of Paul's imprisonment, confident in the Lord, not in themselves, but in the Lord, to speak the word of God without fear, or literally fearlessly. You know, the term to have far more courage, the term actually here speaks of really literally to dare abundantly. They dared abundantly to speak the word of God fearlessly. Have you ever dared abundantly to speak the word of God fearlessly? Now, I'm not talking about just throwing it out and sharing it in any or every situation. I'm talking about discernment as the Lord leads and opens those doors to share Christ. To dare abundantly to speak the word of God. Amazing thought. They were empowered, confidence in the Lord to speak the word of God fearlessly. And don't miss it, it's the word of God that was spoken here. It was the word of God, as Paul would share, the gospel. And on a side note, do you know the word of God? Do you know the word that you could speak the word of God? They spoke the word of God. Could you share the truth of God from his word to someone else rather than paraphrasing? Yes, we do paraphrase the gospel. That's okay. But could you share the word of God? Do you know that the wages of sin is death? Do you know that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? Do you know that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life? Could you share the word of God to someone else if the Lord opens the door? Well, these are believers here. They've only been believers for 10 years or so or less. Even less. A lot less, actually. Because they came to faith when Paul was there. Even for 2 years, they're able to share the word of God fearlessly. How about you and I? Do you have the boldness and confidence in Christ, not in yourself, to share? This passage should encourage you and build you up to do so.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Philippians. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, how do we overcome the fear of man when we're presented with an opportunity to share the gospel?
Well, Dave, you know, I could give you a quick answer to that, but I don't think it would be very satisfying. The reality is that we may always be afraid when we share the gospel. And don't forget, the Apostle Paul, when he shared the gospel to the Corinthians, shared it in the context of fear and trembling, yet he was focusing on Christ. And I would encourage our believing listeners, just trust the Lord no matter how you feel. Step out no matter how you feel when God opens the door and trust him. He made your mouth. He will enable you to say what he wants you to say if you really have yielded your heart to him. Your presentation may be shaky and become visibly uncomfortable, but that's not what saves anyone. Our faith doesn't rest on the presentation, but on the power of God's word. Thus, it behooves us to understand the truth of God's word and then to proclaim it when the Lord opens the door and then leave the saving to him. I would exhort you not to let the fear of man stop you from doing the work of the Lord. Press on. Proclaim his word in the midst of your fear. Share his truth and let the Lord take care of the results.
And here's what I can tell you. When you step out in faith and start sharing His word, the Lord will calm your fears at times, and He will replace them with a peace and a confidence that you know is only from Him.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again on Monday, right here, for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.